Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Mom Bear Podcast. I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell, and I am thrilled to bring you today's episode. Before we get to that, let me say, if you are new here, first of all, welcome. I'm so glad that you found us. This is a place for women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, to get together, hang out, share stories, and just talk about our lives. My hope is that it will feel like you are hanging out on my back porch, having a beverage of your choice, kicking back, enjoying your time with people who get this very unique path we are on. Even if our stories are totally different, I think there's such power in coming together and saying, my story is different, and this is how, and how is your story different? Somehow connecting on that level has, for me at least, as a mom to a beautiful little girl with profound special needs, has always meant so much. So today's episode, I have the honor of speaking with my good friend Allison Bynum again. If you happen to catch episode 2, we talked about life at the beginning of her journey into this world of special needs and what it was like getting a very unexpected diagnosis for her daughter. And that episode is one that you really want to catch. So if you haven't heard from Allison before, I would highly encourage you to go find it. It's listed under the number 2 for episode 2. And then it says, the first cut is the deepest, finding your footing in the beginning of your special needs journey. So Allison is a good friend of mine in real life. We speak more about the kind of crazy way that we connected in that episode 2. But I have her on the phone again today. I am so lucky that she was willing to give us 30 minutes of her time while she was in the car headed from one place to another. And you know how important that time in the car is. If you're like me, it's like gold. And that's when I get to think and process things and listen to music really loud. And Allison, I so appreciate you taking the time to chat with us while you were headed down the back roads of Tennessee. So I so appreciate it. And we are talking about hospital hacks, ways to maintain your sanity when you are in the hospital with your kid. And we have some experience in this. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that Allison has more experience in this than I do. I have certainly been in the hospital, what some parents would call a lot and what some parents would call very little. It just depends on your own perspective. But we've definitely had hospital stays, multiple surgeries with our daughter, Abiella. And Allison has had about 20 stays. Now, that's not 20 nights. That's 20 unique reasons to be in the hospital overnight. We're not talking day trips to the hospital. We're talking about moments in time that you have to be in there for a night or maybe many, many, many nights. And there are some of you listening that are saying, oh, I spent a year in the hospital, or I'm living in the hospital right now, or we've been here for months. I thought I was coming in for a day, and now we're 6 months in. So at the end of the episode, you'll hear us chatting about how you can contact me and let me know your own hospital hacks, your own ways of maintaining your sanity. And then we're going to do a second episode where I'm going to be sharing your tips with everyone on the show. And I'll have more details about that at the end. But for now, let's get into it. And thank you for being here. Here we go. All right, Allison, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay, I'm so pumped to have you on the show again. Thank you so much.
Oh gosh, thanks for asking me.
Well, I love that you are currently driving to, tell us where you're going.
Oh, I'm going to pick up Charlotte, my little girl, from her camp for kids with special needs. She goes all summer. It's a day camp. She goes like for several weeks in June and then several weeks in July. And they do all kinds of amazing activities, things that I could never accomplish without a big team around me. Mm-hmm. So it's so fun to watch her go be with her friends and where they have lots of college age and adult helpers. And they go do everything. So she got to go swimming. And this week she goes swimming every week and multiple field trips. And today they've been at camp, but doing all kinds of fun stuff. So
I just love it. I just love it. Well, I really appreciate you hopping on here on your 30-minute drive to go pick her up and giving us this half hour of alone time. So woo-hoo! I appreciate it. So I'm so excited to talk to you about hospital hacks, maintaining your sanity when you're in the hospital. And I was thinking today, when you compare probably the typical experience of raising a child on the typical track, I have certainly had a lot more hospital stays with AB, and then you have had a whole lot more, I would say, probably than I have. I don't know. How many times, off the top of your head, how many times do you think you've had overnight stays?
Gosh, I haven't ever officially counted them, but I would guess it would be probably in the neighborhood of 20.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that realm. Some of them planned for surgeries and some of them not planned.
Right. Okay. And that's what I was thinking. And then, of course, there are going to be listeners who have lived at the hospital for months at a time. So these are just ideas that I have used, that you have used. I don't know what you're going to say, which is the exciting part, because I'm going to learn from you. And then I also kind of did a Google search and I found a few from nurses, which I thought were really cool, trying to give parents a heads up on things to ask for. So I am excited to hear your hospital hacks. So let's just start. Give me one. Okay. Give me one. And these can be in no particular order and we'll just see how many we get.
Okay. First thing I was thinking of, so I do have what I would say some people would call a frequent flyer at the hospital.
Yeah.
So my first tip is to keep a go bag ready. So it might sound silly. It might sound like a no-brainer or like a gloom and doom type of, preparedness strategy, but I try to keep a bag kind of halfway packed, with toiletries for myself and things that I know that she's going to need for just a one night type thing. And just a, change of like pajamas or like yoga pants and a t-shirt for me that I could sleep in, a contact case, just the basics, deodorant, all that. But I keep, because when we do make a trip to the hospital, a lot of times it's a quick decision. Mm-hmm. We will keep a little bag packed, and that's a recent in the last year or so tip that I have. So.
Gosh, that is really good, because as you're saying this, I'm remembering all the times I'm flying around the house trying to grab all the things that we may need before we have to haul it out. So, that's really good. That is really good. Okay, I have one. Mine was to be honest with people that want to visit. I have had a lot of friends that are like, can I come see you? Can I do this? And some people love all the visitors and that's what they want. I am an introvert. And if AB particularly is upset, and a lot of the times the hospital stays we've had have been really pretty difficult, we don't have a ton of downtime, I just am not good with visitors there. So I have benefited from saying, being really honest and saying, you know what? I love that you want to come. I can't. I don't have it in my space. Like, it's not a good time, but I will take the food.
Yes.
Hey, I'm very honest. I'm just like, bring it to the floor and leave it with the nurses, or I'll run out to the elevator. Because the other thing is, having a bunch of people in the room can really stress AB out.
Yep.
But people want to help somehow. Yep. And they want to bring you the food. I think that it makes them feel good. Mm-hmm. And it really makes me feel good to have something that's not the cafeteria. Although I have to say, I feel like the hospital that we typically end up at has, at least in my opinion, it's a little ironic for it to be in a hospital, but I love Pizza Hut and I love milkshakes.
Well, I love Taco Bell. You eat those things a lot on a regular basis. So those are like treats.
Yes. Yes. Well, you just flew into my third one. I'll just go for it. Is treat yourself. I get the things that I don't normally get. I have no problem being like, I will take my second large ice cream sundae for the day. Like, I have no problem treating myself. I will buy the $5 magazines. I will do it.
Yep. That's awesome. Okay, I have another one.
Yes.
This one is probably my most, I have two that are super important. So this is one of my like super important ones that I've started doing this year. We started making a Google spreadsheet, like a Google Doc, and keeping it updated with medicines, the doses and the concentrations, and like the brand name and the generic name. And I don't know if you have a place to like put things after the fact, but I'm happy to like show what our med sheet looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe take out some identifiers or whatever, if there's a way to put it online.
Yes, I will. But I will do that.
And then before I try to keep it updated, and I keep a copy of it taped to the inside of a cabinet where all of our medicine lives. And if we have to go to the hospital, that's one of the last things we grab before we go.
Smart.
Is grab the sheet, because do you know how many times they ask you about the medicines?
Right.
They ask you in the ER when you're admitted. They ask you when you get up to the floor. Those nurses ask you if you're having surgery. They ask you. It's just so helpful because your brain is scrambled because something's going on with your kid.
Yeah.
And their brains are scrambled because nurses and they're also wonderful, overworked and tired. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, most of the nurses we encounter are amazing, amazing people. And even so, you can still make a mistake or have a hard time, you know, putting things in the computer because you just have a lot of things flying around in your head. So that's no criticism to anyone.
Right. No, I don't know how they do it.
To see it printed out and to have it, you know, it's just easy to update. And so we find if we had to go in an emergency, because it's on a Google Doc, you can just pull it right up on your phone.
Mm.
You can also share it with your key people in your life. So like I share it, my husband, I have it shared, grandparents, caregivers, whoever is caring for my child at the time, they could also just pull that Google Doc right up and have access to all that info.
God, that is so smart. And I love that you said include the concentration, because how many times am I at the doctor's office rambling off her prescriptions? They say, well, is it this or this? And that's the one thing I definitely don't have memorized.
Yeah, used to take pictures of all the bottles. As soon as I got a new prescription, I would just take a picture of it, of the label. But now I use this one sheet, so it's all in one place, because I found myself having to scroll back through the phone photos. You know how many photos you have on your phone. But that is true. That really segues into my other suggestion as a hack. It's to double check medicines before people give them to your child.
Yeah.
But because of that reason right there, just because you say your kid is on, let's say Keppra, as a seizure drug, you know, Keppra could be concentrated in a few different ways. So if they put in the wrong concentration, you know, you may overdose or underdose for seizures. So that's my other thing, is even though the professionals are there administering medicine, nobody knows your child like you. And they're just going off what gets put in the computer. And what if, you know, someone put one number wrong in there? You just got to look. You got to check and double check. And just because you're in your hospital, you can't lay back. You know, you can't just sit over on the side with your feet up and be like, yep, that's fine. Go ahead and give her that medicine.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes.
My opinion. Because it is easy to make a mistake. And typically when you're in the hospital with a child with special needs, it's because you're already at a little critical point, you know? Mm-hmm. So one mistake could be harmful.
Yeah.
Or set you back another couple of days of having to stay there, you know? So, that would be another hack.
I just rolled
two into one, but those are my tips.
So good. Yes. Okay. I'm already, taking all the mental notes. So good. okay. So one of mine, and these are just for my sanity, my emotional sanity, is to, if at all possible, walk. If there is a moment that maybe someone else is in the room with AB that I trust, she's not alone, for me to haul it out and go walking, even in the hospital. Like, I don't have to leave. I don't have to go outside. I can if that's a possibility. But to step even just outside on some of where we are, we have some like balconies and overlooks or little courtyards where you can get some fresh air. That has always helped. I find quiet rooms that are typically used for, I don't even know, counseling, things like that. And I'll just sit. We have the chapel in ours that we'll go to, where I just take intentional moments to step away from all the beeping machines, get my head back a little bit more centered, if obviously that's a possibility. If it's a possibility for me to leave the room because there's someone else in there that AB is comfortable with and that I can obviously trust to talk to any nurse or doctor that walks in. And my second one with that, and this has always helped me, is I am not an early riser in real life. I mean, I really am somebody that can hit the snooze button for a solid, oh, I don't know, two and a half hours if I have the option. But in the hospital, even if I've slept like 2 minutes, I will definitely get up enough to go to the bathroom, brush my hair, whatever it may be, throw it up in a bun. I mean, it's more like just throw it up in a bun. Maybe go get some coffee before the doctors come in. Because if I'm asleep and they walk in, I am just like jumbled. But if I am ready and waiting, I have all my questions, and that just helps my spirit really to just be totally, even again, like even if I've slept, you know, maybe 20 minutes, for those 20 minutes that I'm with the doctors, I want to be caffeinated and ready. So that has helped me. And
for sure.
Let me hear another one of yours.
Okay. Well, building off of that, a huge tip that I have is to keep a flippy pad or some kind of notepad handy. It's in that go bag with a pen, because I like to put it out on the little rolly table or whatever. And when I think of a question randomly, I write it down right then, because I want to remember to ask it in my 20 minutes with the doctor for the entire day. So I want to, I mean, sometimes I used to use the dry erase board, but sometimes like a nurse will come in and just wipe the board, you know, and
like,
not realize that you wrote. So I just started like carry a flip pad when my husband went with Charlotte to the hospital a few months back. Like, he got a pad out, and actually one of the doctors drew him an illustration of like what was going on with her, and that was really helpful from him, that we had, you know, notepad there. So you know, that's a sounds so silly and so simple, but having it there and being able to refer back to it or write things down, even something simple like when they're giving medicines and maybe one of them hasn't come up from the pharmacy, just to jot down a note like, hey, we're still missing this medicine, you know, so that you can remind yourself, because you've only slept 20 minutes and, you know, so notepad, that's a technical term, some kind of notepad.
That is very good. You're right. I often put things on that little board and they can be erased in 2 seconds. And speaking of the doctors coming in, so this is one I read from a nurse, and I don't know if you have ever had the option to request a room. I've never tried to request a floor. I think because when we've been there, it was very clear that we were waiting for any room that came available. But said if you can request the highest floor, because she calls it the gravity rule. She said the doctors take the elevator all the way up. I don't know if this is just where she works or if this is kind of standard. I have no idea. They take it all the way up because they don't want to hop on the elevator every time, and they would rather walk downstairs than upstairs.
Oh.
And so you get
They
start on the top. Again, doctors listening, let us know. Is this or nurses?
Wow.
Is this standard or just where she was working? But it did make sense to me that you would definitely want to see the doctor, A, as quick as possible, but B, you know, be their first patient. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's such a good call. Huh, I've never even thought of that. I can't wait to try that out.
I know.
Well, I mean, I can wait. I can wait as long as possible.
Yeah, no kidding. If I never have to, that would be great.
maybe we'll never know if that's true.
Yeah, I can live with that mystery. Oh my gosh. Okay, do you have any more?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
so, please. Another just a big one. Speak up and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I think we, even especially as moms, and I know we're on the Mama Bear podcast, so we got a lot of strong women,
right,
you know, who are listening. But I think that has to grow in us over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we get timid and intimidated by the people who are the professionals. And they are, you know, looking at our child from a different perspective than we are. And so sometimes we don't understand what they're saying because they're talking so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't, you know, quite maybe we hear something that doesn't sound right, but we think, oh, that's, you know, whatever. But I encourage, like, I have learned to, and I encourage other women to speak up. Like, it's okay to say, hey, may I have some input, or may I ask a question, or you don't have to be ugly or combative or mm-hmm. anything, but just, it is okay to, you know, clarify and confirm until you understand what they're talking about, until you are on board and agree with, you know, the plan of action for your child. So,
yes, completely.
And I also, like, we live in our area near a teaching hospital. So, you know, if you're near a university hospital that's a teaching hospital, you have different levels of, you know, authority, and you have different levels of students and different years of, you know, residents and attending, all these different things. And it is important to, like, to me, to identify who is who in the room.
Yeah.
And if I am not sure who is who, I'll say, who is in charge of my child's care right now? You know, and who is ultimately responsible for her care, you know, so that I can make sure I understand who I'm talking to, instead of feeling like I'm overwhelmed, you know, because even if there's a team of 10 people in the room, they may not all be involved in the decision-making. They may just be in there to listen and learn.
Yes.
So it's important to kind of find the people in the room who you really are talking to. And, you know, that's a big deal to me too. So.
I totally agree. When half a dozen or way more than that walk in the room, it's like, wait a minute. Who is the man or woman that I really need to be zoning in with? That is a very good point.
I have a really fun tip that has been really helpful for this year. Do you want to hear that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after we did have a few stays this year, I started noticing that it was hard for Charlotte to, like, see the TV, which is so silly.
Yes.
It's a silly thing. But in the hospital, like, for children who are not mobile, there's very few options on, you know, entertainment while they're in the bed. And maybe if they're in the bed being fed or respiratory things, you know, like, or recovering from a surgery, they can't get up and do as many things as maybe a child who's more mobile. So we decided to bite the bullet and buy Charlotte her own tablet, like a Kindle Fire tablet. So that we could put it in the bed in a good position to where she could actually see some of her favorite TV shows, like Full House. She's really into Full House. Like,
yes, good
you know,
taste.
Not Fuller House, the original,
real vintage Full House. Yes.
Vintage Full House, like the 1990s. Okay. Yeah. So
the best.
But that has been super cool because we were able to connect that with our, like, home DVR. And so we can just pull up things that we have DVR'd and her favorite show. So it brings a little bit of her normal routine instead of her having to watch random shows that she never watches and is not interested in and that she really may not be able to see from across the room.
Yeah.
And that way, if we have to roll her from one side to the other, we can just switch the side where that tablet is.
Yes.
And that's a nice distraction. Like, if you can position it better, and if we want to put earbuds in her ears for her to listen to it while we're talking to the doctors, if it's not something we want to hear her to talk, you know, hear us talk about, you know, then we can do that. So that was kind of a fun tip.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. It's also good, you know, for me to be able to catch up on Nashville when I'm laying on the bed over there when she's already asleep. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm like Googling all the shows. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that reminds me, that takes me to two tips I was thinking of.
Oh, good.
One is that I will try to bring not the whole house, but whatever can fit in a, you know, a rolly suitcase, something that has wheels on it, that looks like her room. So she doesn't feel like she's totally in a strange place. So I'll bring, like, her huge stuffed animal. I'll bring her blanket. I'll bring just some things that are familiar. And then I saw a friend bring a small diffuser with the same oil that they use at the house. So then the space smells like her space, which I thought was really cool. And then another one that I don't know if you were going to say this and if I'm jumping the gun here, but I learned from you was your last visit. I saw that you found a TV station that was like a sound machine.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Which is awesome. Hospital,
our hospital has a TV station that is just like nature scenes and music. And so I turn that on at night, and that's what we, so there's a little bit of glow in the room for when they come in the middle of the night to do vital signs. Yes. They don't have to flip on a bright light.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, noise in the background that kind of keeps the beeping and the voices outside the door a little bit undercover.
So yes. Nice. That is so smart.
And you hit another one of mine, the Rolly suitcase.
Yes.
That is like, that is a dream for wheelchair moms.
Yeah.
You got to put your stuff in a Rolly suitcase because it's all contained and it's not going to like fall out. Like a wagon could be good too, but your stuff could fall out of the wagon.
Right.
So all of, like if I'm pushing her with one hand with the wheelchair, then I can roll the Rolly suitcase with everything in it.
Yes.
With the other hand. And that's less cumbersome. I love that.
I do the same. If it's a backpack or rolling.
Yep.
Those are my two go-tos. Gosh, I am so pumped. These are some good ones. Very good ones.
I think so. Little tiny ones for a little girl. I throw nail polish in that go bag being able to like paint nails, like, you know, just little fun, small things for little girls you can do, you know, temporary tattoos.
Yes.
But, you know, silly fun things that can be done that are, okay, and I'm going to give you my small tip. Give you my small tip that sounds really silly, and I don't know what boy moms will do with this, but I bring Charlotte's hair bows, and
totally.
I know it sounds so silly.
It doesn't.
But
it does
when
not.
People come in the room, you know, they can see your child laying there, but if your child is laying there with a hair bow in her hair,
yep.
Suddenly it softens her and makes her look more like a sweet little girl that needs to return to her life outside of the hospital.
Yep. Yep.
And so I feel like it's just something endearing to remind them, hey, the kid who is loved and adored and cherished and is ready to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll grab a hair bow on the way out to make sure that she can have, you know, I mean, when she's well enough to, if, you know, provided we're not in a critical situation, you know, then the hair bow, you know, obviously, but that sounds so silly, but it's important to me.
It's important to me too. And I think you're right. It's a little reminder that this child is more than just a number on the chart or in the computer. And she's a little girl who we don't want to be here. You know, we want to return to our life. And before we totally move on from the bow topic, if you know Allison or Charlotte in real life, then you know about the hair bows, but her hair bow collection is epic. It is like hanging in her room right now, like crossing an entire wall. And when I was over there last time, I was like, of course, it's in what I call like Roy G. Biv, you know, like the rainbow order. What other way to do it? Is there another way to put your hair bows? It is so pleasing. I was like just staring at the bows. You have an exceptional collection.
Yes. And it is funny, but you know, when our kids are nonverbal and, you know, my daughter drools, my daughter is not able to speak out and call someone over to her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have to help her, you know, to help her come out of herself. Like sometimes other children are not quick to take a second look and engage with her. And I want to do whatever I can to set her up for success. And if that means that I take a little extra time to make sure her hair looks cute that day or to paint her fingernails, to give somebody a reason to like say, oh, Charlotte, your fingernails are so cute today. Yep. Or Charlotte, your hair bow looks cute today. Like that gives her such a confidence boost.
It does.
It's a reason for someone to stop and take notice. Mm-hmm. And you can see that, you know, just like when someone says, oh, girl, your hair's looking good today. You're like, you can see the look on her face that she is like appreciates the compliment and whatever it takes, you know, to help someone stop and say, hey, so
absolutely. Absolutely.
No shame.
Yes. No, I'm the same way. And it, you know, it's also like learning how, if, you know, one thing we tried to do, I wasn't super successful with the consistency of it, but I will try to be more in the second grade, was I let AB choose her outfits just giving her three options. And then she'll look one way for, you know, look at the one you like the most. And then we go from there. I feel like I get more of a sense of her owning her style.
Uh-huh.
as she does as a little girl. So I love that. I love that. I have a question
totally
for you.
Totally off topic, hospital hack.
But it all goes together. It really does.
It does.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Like I said, when I'm in the hospital, I totally treat myself. So I'm like, if I want Taco Bell, I'm getting it. If I want this, I'm getting it. Obviously, if I was there for weeks at a time or a month, I couldn't do that. You know, you can't you can't live your life treating yourself and still feel healthy.
Right.
And I do bring some stuff from home. You know, I'd bring, if I know I'm going to be there, then I definitely bring some like healthy alternative meals from the house that I can keep on the counter or in the refrigerator.
Right.
But what do you do in your stays that are longer about food?
So I say yes anytime someone offers to bring me food.
Mm-hmm.
even if I don't need it for that meal, I might say, my mom's got lunch, but you know, if you've got time to drop something off, I can stick it in the fridge for dinner or whatever. And when people are bringing me food, after about the first day, if it's going to be more than just a day or two, I start asking for like salads or like things with vegetables, because I can get the junk food at the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it
seems like
silly.
It shouldn't be, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, usually I get Chewy's at least once because it's close and you can just call it in and someone can pick it up and drop it off.
Yeah.
And I usually end up with a Panera, which is a drive-through really close. But, you know, if someone offers to bring something after about the first couple of days, then I try to make sure that, you know, I ask for, because typically your friends want to bring you something you want, you know, I try to ask for something that includes some kind of vegetable.
Yeah, something green.
Something green.
That's not Jell-O. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But that, like you mentioned earlier, you know, the visitors, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't say yes to that. Just depends on the situation of why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you need to eat. You may not have to eat, but you need to eat to be able to be mentally nourished and on top of things. You know, it's the whole put your oxygen mask on before helping someone else. You should eat.
Yeah.
And you should drink water, and you've got that really good hospital ice. Oh, there's a tip. I always bring a water bottle, an empty water bottle, like an Nalgene bottle. And so I can go fill it up with the good hospital ice and the good water that's filtered
that's
a million
really smart.
Times.
That's really smart.
Because you were right there. I mean, who wouldn't eat that good ice,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
True.
So that's another thing.
That's true.
But yeah, that's one of the things I like. And I do, like you, I bring a few things from home, snacky things, you know, all nuts or, you know, whatever kind of drinks that I'm drinking. If I can throw a powdered drink mix in my bag, you know, I'll throw that in there. But, breakfast is hard. I know, like, our hospital has a family room, and I actually have never even gone up there to get food. But I try to just, you know, eat my lunch or dinner and store the rest that I don't eat. And it's not uncommon for me to randomly be eating, like, French onion soup for breakfast.
Right.
The last time we were there, I ate my leftover French onion soup for breakfast. And the doctor came in at, like, 6 in the morning. I'm like, hey, would you like some soup?
Do you have any,
then I laid back down
salty?
And took a nap. Right. But, I mean, they get it. You know, they know we're stuck there, too. So,
I think there's something about that food that if it comes from somewhere else, it reminds you of life outside.
Yeah.
And that you're going back at some point. Yeah. Well, Allison, thank you so much.
You're welcome. This was fun.
This
I know
was
that
fun.
I bet there's going to be a lot of folks that have more tips to share. So I hope that there's a place that they can share them, because I want to learn. You taught me. I don't ever leave the room to go walk around. And I know that's something that would be good for me. So it inspired me. I'm going to try that next time.
Well, there's a list of 5 things that I'm about to go do that you gave me the idea for. And yes, we will have a space in the comments for people to leave their own tips. And then we may have an episode 2 on the same topic where we read off those. So
that could be
a lot of fun. All right. Well, thank you. And
you're welcome.
Tell the girls hi. And I'm so excited about camp. I can't wait to see more videos and pictures.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be cool.
Yes.
So, all right. I will talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you for
Bye.
Talking with us on your drive. Bye-bye.
No problem. Bye.
All right, friends. Who knew talking about the hospital could be such a good time? I had a blast. Thank you, Allison. If you would like to find Allison on Instagram, you can connect with her at Allison Bynum. That's AllisonBynum. And we're serious. We want to hear from you about your own tips, tricks, and hospital hacks for when you are staying there with your child. And you can do that in the comments on the post about this episode in my Instagram, which is Mary Susan McConnell, MarySusanMcConnell. Or if you're listening to this way far in the future, then you can just shoot me a DM. This is going to be published on July 2nd, 2018. So that's where the post will be on my Instagram feed. But again, you can also just DM me because I'm very eager to make a Hospital Hacks Volume 2, Tips and Tricks from Our Listeners. So please send those in. I'm really, really eager to hear what you have to say. Also, I want to send another massive thank you to everyone who has left happy ratings and reviews. It helps with the show so much, not just makes me happy, deeply happy on a personal level, but it really does help with the searchability of the show. And every time you share it, every time you take a screenshot, tag me on Instagram, however y'all are doing it, it is working and it is spreading pretty quickly. And I can't tell you how much it means to me, but I also see what it means to other families out there getting to hear from women in similar boats. I'm getting messages, oh, that interview meant this to me, or when this woman, when your guest said this, it meant this. And they're finding it because y'all are willing to share it. So thank you so much. Also, if you would like to connect with me on my website, or if you're interested in anything from my Mama Bear shop, or if you're interested on getting on the newsletter to know coupon codes in advance or podcast episodes in advance, we are starting a Friday weekly newsletter. So that's going to be happening every single Friday. I'm going to be talking about the last episode we had. Just a quick reminder, I'm going to be giving you insider info onto the following episode that always comes out on Monday. And then I'm going to be trying to share at least one coupon code every other newsletter. So you can get on that newsletter by going to my website at themamabearsite.com. That's T-H-E, the mama, MamaBearSite.com. And a little screen will pop up when you're there. Put in your email if you're interested. And that's actually a great way to get an immediate coupon code to the shop is by signing up. You'll get that in your inbox a few minutes later. So guys, I so appreciate you being here. I hope you're having an amazing summer. Here in Middle Tennessee, we are in a serious heat wave. And I hope you're staying cool out there. I sound like a weatherman, which was another dream of mine, was to be a meteorologist, weather woman. So Godspeed, have a great week. And I can't wait to bring you another awesome woman that you're going to fall in love with next Monday. All right, bye-bye.